I didn't ask you if it was going fine. I asked you what the sulfur extraction rate was. Do you know or not?
With each day, Harris's unease about the yacht's basic fabric and systems had grown. Getting answers from the crew had turned out to be harder than she expected. The moles looked at one another.
Well, pretty much, Captain. It's below nom at the moment, but it usually runs that way because the dauber wants a sulfur-rich sludge for his veggie plots.
It took Harris a moment to translate CivTech slang and decide this meant Lady Cecilia's gardener wanted more sulfur in the first-pass sludge. In the meantime, they still had not answered as she thought they should.
Below nom is not what I'm looking for. What precisely is the number you have for sulfur clearance?
Again, the sidelong look from one mole to another.
It's, 0.3. Off first sig norm, that is.
Which is?
Well, the book says 1.8, but the system's never worked any better than 1.6, just under first sig. Mostly we run about 2 sigs below, say about 0.7 or so. System's underutilized, so it's not that important. It's rated for a population of 50, and we don't have that many aboard.
Harris closed her eyes briefly, running over the relevant equations in her head. Sulfur clearance was only one of the major cycles, but critical to the ship's welfare because errors could not only make people sick, but degrade many ship components as well. Delicate comm equipment didn't like active sulfur radicals in the ship's atmosphere. She added ship's crew, house staff, and owner's family.
In case you haven't noticed, we now have 51 humans and a long voyage ahead of us. I presume you flushed the tanks and re-inoculated them while we were in port?
But the hangdog looks told her they hadn't.
And the last logged maintenance by off-ship personnel was this Deklos and Sons, Backland Station?
That's right, ma'am. They couldn't have done such a good job, fancy pants as they are, because the system never did pick up the points. But Captain Nolan said never mind.
Oh, he did.
Harris struggled to keep her thoughts off her face. First, his demand for an odd, inconvenient course that did not meet the owner's needs, and now a tolerance for malfunctioning environmental equipment, something no sane captain would have. Failing to order the tanks flushed and recharged at Rock House might have been spite, revenge for being fired, but until then he had risked his own life as well. What could have made the risk worth it?
We'd better see how bad it is. Suit up and we'll go take a look.
You, Captain?
Ickland almost never spoke, Harris had discovered, letting chatty Timmons say anything necessary. But now he looked worried. Harris let her brows rise. It had worked on other ships. It should work here.
Did you think I wouldn't want to check for myself?
Well, it's not that, Captain. Only, these things can smell pretty bad.
Pretty bad was an entirely inadequate description of a malfunctioning sulfur loop, and Harris was sure more than the sulfur scrubbers were in trouble. Once the pH had gone sour, many of the enzymes in other loops worked erratically as the chemistry fluctuated.
That's why we'll be suited. 5 minutes in the number 4 access bay.
Complete suits? They're awfully hot.
You prefer to risk the consequences? With a system you know is malfunctioning?
It just stinks.
Harris glared at him.
All right, Captain. Suits. Damn lot of nonsense. Can't be enough reaction in that loop to give us more than a headache at worst.
Quickly, Harris gave Gavin his orders for the next hour. Which compartments to seal, which backup crew to have ready, suited, in case of trouble. Then into her own suit, the cost of which had come from the advance on her contract, and which she never begrudged. Whatever else on this gilded cesspool of a yacht did or did not work as designed, her own personal self-contained suit would, or her family would enjoy the large sum which Xenix guaranteed if any of its suits failed. She wasn't worried. Only twice in the past 50 years had Xenix had to pay out. For an instant, she thought something had gone wrong on the bridge, but then she realized what it must be. One of those fools hadn't waited for her.
Captain!
What is it? I'm at E7 right now.
Ahead of her, a gray contamination barrier flapped down from the overhead, its central access closed.
Computer says dangerous chemical, sulfur something, and the motion sensor said someone was there but isn't moving. But they're in suits.
Harris mentally cursed civilians in general and the ship's former captain in particular.
Get those backups down here. Make sure they have their helmets locked on. I'm going in.
Despite her faith in Xenix's legendary suits, she shivered a moment. The gas in there was deadlier than many military weapons, but so familiar throughout human history that people just did not respect it. She wriggled through the access iris, which lengthened into a tube and sealed itself behind her. The suit's own chemical sensors flicked to life, giving the readout she expected. Hydrogen sulfide, here in less than life-threatening concentration. Harris hurried, even though she knew it would almost certainly be too late. Around the corner, she came upon Timmons, who had suited up but not locked on his helmet. Presumably, he'd planned to do so when he got to the access bay itself. He lay sprawled on the floor, one arm outstretched toward Ickland, slumped against the open access, wearing no protective gear at all. She went to Timmons first, locking his helmet in place and turning his oxygen supply to full with the external override. Her suit had all the necessary drugs for standard industrial inhalation accidents, but she'd never used it, nor was she a medic. She'd have to rely on the backup team. Ickland wasn't breathing at all, and no wonder. The hydrogen sulfide concentration in here had peaked at over 1,000 parts per million, according to the monitor above the open access hatch. Inside, someone, presumably Ickland, had cracked the seal on a sludge tank. It was brim full, far above the safety line. A black line of filth drooled over its lip. Harris picked up the wrench on the floor, closed the cover, and tightened the seal, then closed the hatch. Now the monitor indicated the concentration was below 200 parts per million. Still dangerous, but not instantly lethal.
We're lucky the agitator wasn't on in the sludge tank. And why not? Or the concentration could have been a log or so higher.
A shadow moved at the corner of her vision. The backup team, that would be the number two engineering officer and the off-shift senior mole, came around the corner and stopped. Even through their helmets, their eyes showed wide and staring.
Come on, get Timmons to the med box. He might have a chance.
It seemed to her they moved too slowly, but they did wrestle Timmons back up the corridor toward the contamination barrier.
Bridge, Ickland's dead. Hydrogen sulfide. Apparently he opened the sludge tank without any protective gear. We have three problems here. Timmons first. Is that medical AI capable of handling inhalation injuries? Second, we've got to clear up the rest of the contamination, and the system is too overloaded to resorb it unless you can come up with a cargo section full of reactant. And third, of course, is Ickland. We need medical and legal evaluation. I will take that up with Lady Cecilia. Oh, and another thing. We're not going to continue in this unsafe condition. I want Sirkin to plot a course to the nearest major repair facility, preferably on the way to our destination.
Well, the med box... Well, I don't know, Captain. It's not... You know, meant for major problems.
At least you can tell it the problem. All I know is it's a cellular poison, and there's some kind of antidote. Now, send someone down with a recorder so that I can document Ickland's position in the monitor readings. Then we can bring his body out.